10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
I am honored to welcome to the show Governor Gavin Newsom of California, who has been leading the fight to redistrict the state of California directly proportional to what Texas Republicans are doing, trying to rig the midterms in Republicans' favor. Well, now we have a fighter in the Republican Party. Governor Gavin Newsom, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I just want to start with this framing. So I've been doing a lot of debates about this redistricting, and it often gets caught up in this tit for tat, which party redistricts more. That misses the point. Can you lay out the stakes of what's unique about this? What's unique about a mid-cycle redistricting? History be damned.
Well, I mean, in history is relevant because it's instructive here. You've never had a president call a governor mid-decade and say that, quote unquote, I'm entitled to 5 seats. Find me 5 seats. I mean, it's without precedent. And so we're responding to this unprecedented moment of election rigging before one vote is even cast in 2026. And I think this is really instructive. You saw, we all experienced what occurred after January 6th, where he tried to light democracy on fire, he tried to wreck our democracy, and he tried to steal the election as it relates to trying to find those 11, 12,000 votes in Georgia. Here he is in plain sight, now calling up people like Greg Abbott and saying, I need 5 seats. For one reason, he knows he's going to lose in the midterms. He is historically unpopular. His programs, his policies are historically unpopular. He is going to get crushed in the midterms, which means we're going to have a co-equal branch of government back, as opposed to the complicity of Speaker Johnson and the lack of engagement, even existence almost, of the lapdogs in Congress today in the House of Representatives with the majority of Republicans. And so that's what he did. And we now are responding to that. This, he took the first shot, he swung the first punch, and the difference is he expected us to roll over. Democrats talking about how the world should be, holding hands, putting out a white paper, and, you know, talking about, you know, how morally superior we are. And it's just unfortunate that he did it in Texas and he did it in Indiana. He did it in Florida. He did it in Missouri. And Ohio just went. And the difference now is, no, we're punching back. We're fighting fire with fire. And we're going to neutralize what they just did in Texas.
Yep, Republicans always try to act like this is happening in a vacuum, but they try to very intentionally not talk about Texas being the catalyst for this entire thing. I guess when it comes to Donald Trump breaking norms, I really like your framing of this as an extension of January 6th and the Raffensperger phone call and the fake elector plot, which a lot of Americans, it rubbed them the wrong way. What's at stake if Donald Trump does end up rigging the midterms? You're trying to cut his presidency short. You are trying to end it. What do you think it's sustained?
Well, it ends with all of you next November. De facto, it ends. There'll be fire and fury. There'll be tweets and there'll be all caps and there'll be a lot. But it will signify little compared to where it does today. You'll finally have a co-equal branch of government. You'll finally have the rule of law established and re-established in this country. But look, what you just said, I think, is important. I want to pull this thread a little bit further. From January 6th and what happened in Georgia with the Secretary of State to what just occurred with Abbott a few weeks ago and what's happening in real time as we tape this in Texas as they're moving from one House vote to the next House and Greg Abbott's signature. It's not just about the redistricting. It's about what occurred a week ago when I announced this campaign for redistricting in California, where he sent masked men, disproportionately men, to our Democracy Center event. Where you had 2 U.S. senators, many members of Congress, community leaders, hundreds of them assembled. And he sent the Border Patrol and ICE to intimidate folks at this event. That is a preview, I assure you, of things to come this November and next November around voting booths and polling places all across this country. $175 billion to back that assertion up. The largest funding for a private army, increasingly becoming a private army of Trump, anywhere in the world. And that is a preview, number one. Number two, you saw what he just did this week on vote by mail. 80+% of Californians did vote by mail last year. 2 years prior, it was 86%, 88 in 2020. That's the predominant means to which people express their fundamental democratic rights. He now wants to vandalize that. And he's now asserting his legal authority to do that with an executive order. And finally, if you needed any more evidence, how about that guy, J.D. Vance? How about that guy named Stephen Miller, the architect of these warrantless raids, going after and separating families and putting in children, scaring people, going to school or going to church or even going to a funeral or a service and a memorial? He was sitting there with the head of the Pentagon, the chief of the Pentagon, Secretary of Defense, with the Vice President of the United States in Union Station, with the military surrounding them, as they've tried to now militarize American cities, just as they did in Los Angeles, with 4,000 Federalized National Guard and 700 active duty Marines. You combine all of those things? Guys, this thing could disappear in front of our eyes in a matter of months if we don't push back.
Yeah, as a young dude who spent most of his formative years listening to the president ramble on TV, it actually really pisses me off when I hear him repeat Russian propaganda about our election systems verbatim. Top down, that's coming from the president. And then people wonder if his intentions with the midterms are to rig it. Of course they are. Can you explain a little bit how what you're doing is temporary? Because this is a point that I actually had to refute last night on CNN. Someone was like, they're trying to do tit for tat. And I said, listen, the temporary redistricting is not the same as what Republicans are trying to do. So can you just lay the ground there?
Well, nothing about it's the same. First of all, we're not only doing it temporary, we're maintaining the Independent Redistricting Commission. We're affirming our policy that we support a national Independent Redistricting Commission. By the way, only the Democratic Party has come out to support an Independent National Redistricting Commission. Republicans are nowhere to be found, so spare us your crocodile tear on redistricting and the Democrats. We're responding to what happened in Texas. We would never have considered this in the first place. And we're doing it in the most transparent and democratic way. And let me be specific about that. The maps are going on the ballot. With all due respect, Mr. Jennings and all these others that you have to debate on all these shows, there has never been a state that's put its maps to the people. That's called direct democracy. It is in stark contrast, temporary, transparent, and democratic compared to any other state, particularly what's going on in Texas. Give me a break. What a weak argument on their side.
I think it's also worth pointing out that Democrats, when they were in power, twice tried to ban gerrymandering nationwide, and Republicans have the power to do this right now. Rather than doing this, they have the power, but rather than doing this, they are doubling down on the most aggressive gerrymandering and then trying to direct all the attention towards your state. It is sickening, and you can see how the media ecosystem works when all of the conversations are centered around you, but you're directly punching back to Texas. So what message would you have to the people in Texas who have been holding the line, the people in Texas who have been, you know, fighting? I just want to hear what your message is to them.
Just gratitude. Yeah, I'm serious, just gratitude. What they did is they elevated this issue. And by the way, I'm not just saying that rhetorically. I'm not just saying that, you know, just to compliment what they did. Let me give you a numeric. It's fascinating. This is interesting. And I don't know if it's insightful, but it was really instructive. When we did our first poll on redistricting in California, there was about 60% awareness, which was, by the way, remarkably high, I will submit. After what they did in Texas and the fact that they had courage to break that quorum and to go to all these states, including to my home state, to go to Ronald Reagan's old mansion where we all met here in the state of California, and talk about this issue and raise the consciousness of the American, it's over 85%. We're getting close to 90% of Californians are aware of this issue. That would not have happened without the courage of these leaders. And they are, by definition, leaders in Texas. And so, look, it's a reminder. You don't have to be something to do something. I mean, you don't have to be in the majority to make a difference. You don't have to have title to have authority. There's two kinds of authorities, formal authority and moral authority. And everybody watching, you have abundance of moral authority. If you have the courage, if you have the character to stand up and share your passion with action, and they took action, they did something bold, they put themselves on the line, they risked being arrested, they risked being quote unquote hunted down by their attorney general, they risked assault by Senator Cornyn to get the FBI to be weaponized, to track them down in other states, not just find. There were bomb threats. There were personal attacks and assaults on their family, not just on their character and their reputation. That's a hell of a thing. So you ask me how I feel? Deep pride, deep gratitude.
I found those statistics to be very insightful. It really shows how on-the-ground action and creating attention can then help you drive the narrative across states. That leads me to my final question. You've been doing really well dominating the attention economy lately, but it's also because Democrats seem to be thirsty for a fighter, thirsty for somebody who can be aggressive and match the energy of Republicans. Do you see a vision for a Democratic Party that is a bit more aggressive, a bit less risk-averse? Again, as a young dude, I've seen the Democratic Party become two things, a little bit more risk-averse, but also a little bit more finger-waggy. Like, I feel like there's a little bit of finger-wagginess that goes on that we should back up from, and we should just be ourselves. What are your thoughts?
I love it. By the way, thank you for saying that. Yes, a little less judgment. I mean, just look, a little more grace, a little more humility. Grace and humility. I've been through a ringer, and I'm hardly perfect. I had a recall that I had to work my way through. I've made mistakes in my life. A little more grace, a little more humility, a little more humanity as well, and recognition of what's at stake. It's time for the Democratic Party to unite. It's time for Americans to unite. There's nothing about this is American. It's not about the rule of law. It's about the rule of Don. He can take this away. I'm telling you, he's trying to take it away. It's all on the line. So less judgment, more action. Stand up on principle, purpose. But to your point about communication, it's smash mouth now. I'm sorry. It's just, you know, a little more authenticity. Let's go. Try new things. You're doing it. What, you guys have been part of that. You guys are crushing it. You've been crushing it. It's about iteration. We can't do things the way we've done. Let's disabuse ourselves of that. Period, full stop. Enough. It's a slow death. And I will say, and forgive me, I'll just close on this. There's a weakness about that. The Democratic Party needs to assert itself. We need to be strong again. Strong. Strength matters. People want conviction. They want character. They want a sense of intention and purpose to give us meaning, to give us a mission. And so I'm not here to make any more excuses. I'm sorry. I know there's some people that are offended by our all caps parody of Trump, but I thought it's time to put a mirror to Trump. I know you may get offended by my 10-pack abs on some of these memes. I mean, this sort of craziness that's going online. I get it. My kids are like, Jesus, Dad, what the hell's going on? The point is to make the point of what is going on in this country. You have the President of the United States that's acting like a child, and you've got the chatbots on Fox that repeat 24/7 and are weaponizing his grievances, attacking vulnerable people, traumatizing communities. We need to stand up, all of us, at this moment. Less judgment, more fortitude. Meet this moment, not for ourselves, but for each other, for this country. And this is a red line. They're not just changing lines of map. This is about raw power. This is about rigging the election. This is about ending the enduring values, the principles that define the last 249 years of our democracy. So forgive me for being intense about this, but I am, man. This is it. And there's no do-over if we screw this up. And so we're counting on everybody watching. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to engage you. And share where we are at this stage. But it's November 4th that's going to matter. And that's why we need everyone to help us get this over the line.
I promise you, we are grateful to you as well. You can find all of the links to donate in the description below. Something I always say is that norms in a democracy work a lot like consent. You can't have meaningful consent between two parties when one is breaking that, just like you can't have meaningful norms when one party is breaking that. So it's time that we punch back, and that is why we're grateful for you, you know, saving this experiment that we all do love.
I appreciate all of us. And thank you for everything you're doing. Thanks for being out there in the field. Thanks for taking the punches, but also thank you for throwing them back as well.
Thank you. I'll keep telling my grandma that these memes are not real. That's not a real meme of Governor Newsom. That's a fake six-pack.
Well, wait, now some of those without my shirt may be real. You never know. They may be not touched up.
Yeah.
Thank
you, Governor. I appreciate this.
Thanks, man.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, It's American made. That's who we are.
And that's who we care about.
Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.